Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's the world's biggest Cousins super fan. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our double eviction recap. What a night. Lots happening going on. So two evictions, and sadly, Tom Green is no longer part of Celebrity Big Brother 2. We'll talk about it all here tonight. We've got a great panel. And to talk about the loss of a fellow Canadian, I'm very excited to have with us the great, the queen, Aika Wong is here. Aika, how are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
It's going okay, Aika. I wish it was better. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Brent.
I'm doing great. This is Brent Walkema, by the way. I am literally having the time of my life because I know somewhere in the world right now, Taryn Armstrong is crying in his plain yogurt.
Yeah, look, a lot of people are sad tonight. Tom was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun, but looked like they really tried everything they could to keep him around. But much like Caitlin and the six-piece puzzle, the more they try to keep somebody around, it doesn't always work out. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions in for the show here tonight. Aika, of course, for anybody who may not know Queen Aika, she is of celebrity, or I'm sorry, Canadian Big Brother, is a Canadian celebrity and a worldwide celebrity. Also, has interviewed all of these contestants for ET Canada and will be back at the finale next week, Aika.
You know what? I'm just cringing at the worldwide celebrity bit. I'm literally not even on the alphabet.
Yes. That's not fair, Aika. Come on. Like, you interviewed all these celebrities. You've done it before. Your interviews are, like, the favorite part of the preseason press for Big Brother in any form. So give yourself a little credit. We love you.
You guys are too nice. They're too nice to me. Too nice.
Yeah. Brent, I know there's a lot to talk about. Tom Green is out. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm one of these people that I wasn't into Tom Green as much as I think many of the casuals or many of the stands on Twitter. I mean, he was fun. He was interesting. He can make you pull your hair out at times. He was a true wild card of the season. But I really feel like, Rob, and I don't know how you feel, but I feel like he's getting out right while the getting's good. You know what I mean? Like I feel like we've about had our fill of Tom Green, that he was starting to get some haters on Twitter, especially after they put in this, you know, extra twist for safety, which looked plainly on its face to benefit Tom Green, and he didn't make it. And I feel like, you know, it's not so bad that he's sitting on the outside going into a final five where we have four people of color and four women and three people of color. It's a fantastic finale.
He had a good run. Yeah, Aika, really, all right. So I want to hear from you. How did you feel about Tom Green?
You know what? I tried to like him and then I didn't. And then tonight, I felt bad for him. I got to a point, the last episode to tonight's episode, I was like, okay, I want him to stay around. I like him and Candy together. I wasn't a huge Tom Green fan like the rest of you were. And when his popularity dropped, I mean, I was right here waiting for him. And then I felt really bad for him. Tonight.
Yeah. Not even as a Canadian, Aika, no love for your fellow countrymen?
Thanks, Rob. You know what? You know, well, I try to, because I do interview them preseason, I do try to not be as critical of them, but he definitely wasn't one of my favorites. But again, towards the end, I was rooting for him. I was like, hey, come on, Tom. Please make it. You know, I at this point, I like him more than Lolo. I like him more than Ricky. I like him more than Dina. So, I mean, he moved up.
Okay. Wait, does that mean that Tamar is your favorite?
No, she's not my favorite.
Candy?
You know what? I'm liking Candy. I think of all the house guests, she is playing the better Big Brother game. She's just not winning. And the only person that she did influence is gone. So... I would say Tamar is just a bit too emotional. She's a little too crazy, and her emotions take away from her gameplay, in my opinion.
All right. So, Brent, could you explain something to me? Why did Tamar get such a hate into Tom Green? And I know that we saw the moment in the episode tonight where that he was talking to Candy about some potential ideas, and he said, should I put Tamar on the block? And Candy didn't like that idea, and then she told it to Tamar, and then Tamar got very upset with Tom. Is this all over that?
I mean, it's partially over that. I think that, you know, Tamar's been hanging out a lot in the bedroom with the No Licky crowd, and or as Taryn calls them, the Zen Angry Cult crowd. And I think that she fell into the, you know, villainized Tom a little bit more than she probably should weigh. Also, the fact that he toyed with putting her on the block and she wasn't here for that. She also felt like Tom was threatening her. She used words like bully and threaten over and over again. And I think it really did great on Tom, so he didn't really care for her, and then I think a consequence of that, she really didn't care for him even more. So it was just two people who just really weren't getting along, and by the end of it, they were through with each other. You know, I mean, say what you want about Tamar, but I think she gets points for at least being honest about her feelings. I mean, she wasn't giving like a fake hug there at the end. No. She was well, dancing on his grave,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, she literally was. Aika, was that too much for you when Tamar was tap dancing? Even you never tap danced when anybody was leaving, right?
I mean, even I had some like Tamar was like tap dancing the votes. You know, if she ever gets to a final two, like that every tap was like the votes that she wasn't going to get. It was just like, Tamar, calm down.
Right. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I guess we're not thinking, it's not the same as like a regular Big Brother. What's the difference between, you know, where do you draw the line on pettiness, Aika?
She's the queen of petty. Come on.
That's why she's the queen. I'm trying to ask her.
You know what? I would say that, I mean, the line is that would I tap dance with anyone left? I don't think so. I don't think I would tap dance with anyone left. I feel like the line of the pettiness has to be, for me, this is the balance of being petty. It has to be humorous with a jab. Mm-hmm. Humorous with a jab. But the humor has to outweigh the jab. And I felt like her jabs are outweighing the humor when she goes for Tom, which is why it's like, oh, I feel bad for Tom.
Yeah. Now, I agree. That's a great way to put it. Brent, can we go back to Tom Green taking Ricky off the block? Does that ultimately change anything if he doesn't go ahead with that move?
I mean, there was a lot of consternation over who were they going to vote out if he left the nominations the same. I mean, going into the nomination ceremony, I mean, again, this is the night that when they were blacking out the feeds a bunch. So we really had no clue what was really going to happen. We got a little bit of a clue from Tom when he said that we're not going to expect what he's going to do in the veto ceremony. But I don't think anybody predicted he was going to take Ricky off the block because he really wanted Ricky out. That's what he wanted. He was trying to strong arm Candy into voting Ricky out by putting her girl Tamar up on the block. So did it change anything? Well, it changed a few things in that Ricky is saved and stays in the house, and Natalie then becomes the de facto vote. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing it changed. Other than that, I don't know that it really did much. The one thing that he did in doing that is he really rubbed some people the wrong way. And the other thing was that he talked so much about different plans that what happened was Candy, in listening to those plans, Tom expects you when he's telling you his plans to keep them confidential, and he told his plans to Candy or floated some options. And then, of course, immediately she goes back to Tamar to tell her, hey, you might end up on the block. And he didn't like that. He still feels like he's being played. I feel like he's like the guy who touched the hot stove the first or second week where he, you know, got played by Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie. And he doesn't really trust anybody. He doesn't even trust Candy. He thinks she's a mole. He thinks that she's possibly bringing information to the other side. So that is the reason why he ended up pulling Ricky off the block. In our view, and I know Taryn shares this view, that he wanted to be the one to save Ricky to be the bigger man, so to speak. It's been like a constant, you know what, measuring contest between those two guys. So that's part of it. And number two, overall, he just gets to control his narrative a little bit better and be the one who, in the end, if I save you, it's because of me, Tom Green, and I'm the bigger man. So I feel like that's part of the reason why he did what he did.
Okay. When Tom Green came out of the house, I was very surprised that Julie asked him, who are you rooting for? And he basically came out and said, I vote for Lolo. Lolo, who they had been butting heads the whole time. Was that surprising for you?
I was very surprised. I was like, you know, like Tom confused me all season, and he definitely confused me in his interviews as well. When he goes home and watch, I don't know if he'll still vote for Lolo.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's true, Rob. He's not going to vote for Lolo
so
in the end.
Why did you say that then?
Because he feels bad for it. Look, here's the thing you don't understand. You can say, yeah, they were bashing heads in the Big Brother house. That's not really true. Tom wasn't bashing heads with Lolo. Tom was pretty genuine with Lolo most of the time. Lolo was bashing heads with Tom to the point where she had a conversation with him about her Olympic dreams and the fact that she doesn't have health insurance and that she could really use the money. And then she goes back to the bedroom and tells everybody about the conversation. But in her retell of it, Tom is using it against her. He's manipulating her and her Olympic dreams. He's using that against her. But from Tom's perspective, he meant everything he said. So he really does respect Lolo and the fact that she's an Olympian and that she's an athlete and working hard and could use the money and doesn't have health insurance. I feel like all of that is true. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, gut check, he would respect the fact that she also won the HOH that put him out of the house. And he would say, you know what, I'm going to vote for Lolo. Having said that, I do not believe that that will hold. Number one, when Kato gets a hold of him, because Kato's been hanging out with a lot of Big Brother alum lately on Instagram. And number two, just Ryan.
Real Big Brother alum or the Celebrity Big Brother alum?
Well, Celebrity Big Brother alum and Real Big Brother alum.
Who's he hanging out with?
The Willett sisters, and I think Ross was there.
Kaylin is hanging out with the Willett sisters?
And Jonathan Bennett was there. Yes, exactly. So they were all at a shindig together. So, no, I don't think that's going to hold. He's not going to vote for Lolo in the end. I would be shocked. But Tom Green is the ultimate troll. So keep that in mind as well. He could say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Lolo, but in the back of his mind, he's never going to do it.
He's messing with them.
Yeah.
Ike, who's going to win now?
Can I tell you, I literally have no idea. I'm not joking. I mean,
no pick, Ika.
You know what?
Don't be a fancy fencerton.
You know what? I mean, I can't. They're just. I hope to see maybe even Tamar in final two, just because I feel like she's carried the entertainment, and I want the entertainment on finale as well. So a Tamar final two would be nice to see. Seeing Candy there as well would be nice. I really don't want to see Lolo or Ricky there. I think Dean is a guaranteed final two, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Why are you out on Lolo?
You know what? So for the first time, I've watched feeds, and I'm just like, girl is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy. She's a little bit of a mean girl. Maybe that will dissipate now that Natalie Eva Marie is out of the house. Because I do feel like Ika, that they sort of fed each other a little bit. And like the more one talked about, you know, Tom or Kato or Ryan or whoever the hell they were bagging on that day, that it just, it manifested a little bit more than maybe it should have. So now that Natalie isn't there, maybe she will pipe down a little bit and not be such a mean girl. But you heard Dina, who, you know, we barely hear from, calls her one of the mean girls in the house. So, you know, I don't think it's a good look for Lolo. I understand Ika's trepidation in not wanting Lolo at the final two. Having said that, it's going to be really interesting. And, you know, I know that Ika is probably with me in terms of rooting for Tamar. We love her because she's extra and she's fun TV. Her path to getting to the end is really narrow, though, Rob, because the way things are set up now, it's basically her two people plus Candy and Dina in the final five. And she plans on, at least last we heard, taking Candy to the final two. But she can't beat Candy in the final two. Like, the only people she can beat is Ricky and Lolo. And both Ricky and Lolo plan on taking each other, I think. So she really probably needs Ricky or Lolo to be evicted at final five to really have a chance, Tamar, of winning the game.
All right, Ike, I'm going to make a prediction right now, okay? The next person evicted from this house will be Dina Lohan.
Oh, No way.
Really?
Hear me out. Hear me out. I think that's the one person that the other four can agree on should go next. I think it's too messy for everybody else. They've got too many ties to the other people. That Dina Lohan, she's going to be on the block. And I think that people are just going to say, okay, let's all four of us fight it out at the end. Somebody's going to win the HOH. But just like we saw Lolo tonight, I don't know. I can't even think of another person to put up on the block with Tom Green. Dina is going to be the only easy person for everybody else to get rid of here.
You know, okay, that sounds, yeah, because they are, like, they're this season, they've been playing a little bit cowardly, in my opinion. Like, not Kato or Tom, which is why they're so hated in the house. But everybody else, like, they're very concerned with this person being upset or that person. Lolo and Natalie played a very entitled game. They felt like, if how dare you put us on the block? How dare, you know, and people were kind of scared of putting them on the block, it seems. So I feel like you're right in the sense of that they're going to be scared of going. I don't think they're scared of taking out Candy, though.
Yeah, but Tamar is. Tamar doesn't want to do that. So, and Lolo can't, and Lola was just the HOH. I'm sorry, Tamar, that, yeah, Lola was the HOH, right? She can't play in the final four, or in this final five HOH. So she would do it, but now either Ricky, Tamar, Dina, or Candy is going to be the next HOH. So, I don't know. I don't know.
It depends on how. Look, I think it really comes down to Tamar because she's really between two twosomes at this point. And she doesn't really realize that. She thinks she's really part of this threesome. But I know that they are going to take each other to the end. Lolo and Ricky, I'm talking about. So if Tamar wins HOH, she's really got a decision to make in terms of what she wants to do. I think ultimately she will put Dina on the block. It's just a matter of who is there with her. And I mean, I've heard her say different things on the feeds about she's through with Candy because Candy was working with Tom and she made that pretty obvious that she wasn't working with the no-licky crowd. So I, you know, at least to their face, Tamar has been like, I'm through with her. She's out of this house. Girl, bye. This relationship isn't enough to have outside the house. However, I haven't seen any evidence privately that she is true to that. So I don't want to say I share your view, Rob, that Dina is going to be the next one to go home. But if Tamar pushes hard enough saying, look, I have to have Candy in the final four for me, because you guys have each other. If she pushes that hard, it might sway them to evict Dina.
Look, I've got nothing right the whole season. Let me have this, Brent. Let me be right about one thing this season.
Yes, I was reminded that you took Lolo with the first pick in the draft.
And look who's still here in the final five, Lolo Jones. Oh, not so crazy after all, is it, Brent?
Okay, yeah. I still don't think she has a bat.
Look, a chip in a chair, Brent. I'm going to be alive on finale night, okay?
Okay, I'm with you. Yes, we're there.
Yeah, all right. So, Ike, earlier in this night, we saw Natalie Eva Marie go home. Now, how did you feel about Natalie Eva Marie?
You know what? So Natalie was one of my favorite interviews preseason. So I really, really liked her a lot. And even watching her, I'm like, Natalie, I'm trying really hard to like you. And, you know, and every week it was like, okay, I'm trying really hard to like you because you're my favorite from our preseason interviews. I didn't like her relationship with Lolo at all. I just really felt like she felt very entitled in the house. And
you don't like that?
Huh?
You don't like that?
I don't like that. I don't like it. I feel like, for instance, she got so angry when Tom put her on the block, but had she won HOH, it would have been like Tom and Dina or Tom and Candy or you know, like whomever. But Tom wins HOH and puts her on the block and she throws this fit. And it's just like, but you don't have the same thing, sis. You know, like, just play the game. You have numbers. You play in the veto. She played a very entitled game to me, and I didn't like her gameplay a lot.
Yeah, Rob, the other thing that really rubbed people the wrong way was the fact that she kept saying that, you know, we saved Candy. How dare she go to Tom Green and strategize? How dare she not pick Tom Green in the HOH competition and go against him to try to knock him out? And then Candy was like, I don't owe them shit. I don't owe them jack. Why the hell would I pick Tom Green? So, but the fact that they were acting like that they saved her was so galling to many people watching. And Candy had it right when she was talking to Tamar in the episode. She was like, no, you saved me, Tamar. And Tamar, look, Tamar shut up. Tamar doesn't shut up very often. She was like, you right? You right? Like, I saved you. Not those three. They didn't do that because they wanted her gone. Okay. And she, at least Candy knows the deal about what's going on in the house right now. And Nim didn't like it.
You know what? I really felt like that moment when Candy was like, they didn't save me. You saved me. And Tamar was like, oh, yeah. You guys, Candy manages people for a living. She has like, I was like researching her. She has like over 100 employees. She manages people. She's also a talent, but she manages a lot of people. And Big Brother is managing personalities. Candy knows to stroke that ego.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this from Candy when you talked to her preseason, Aika?
Yeah. And I also watched during the Real Housewives. You know, I watch all.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
Right. So I know that Candy is the kind of person that you can't push her. It just takes a lot to push her. And, you know, she is level-headed. She's a businesswoman. She is successful. She's a bunch of businesses. She's about her money. But she also manages a lot of different people. And it's rare because usually talent are the ones being managed and the ones being spoiled, the ones being bratty. But Candy has been in both positions, I feel, which is why she's probably so chill and down to earth.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, I will say, like a bald guy in the chat is saying that, you know, he agrees with Aika that she is a chess master. I wouldn't call her a chess master, but she's learning the game and she has a great background
in this house.
Yeah, she has a great background, as Aika points out, to draw from in order to be able to learn this game. And, you know, she's I'm not trying to dog Candy because I love her and I think she's great. She's about replacement level. You know, she's about average in terms of, you know, your regular Big Brother player who comes into the house not knowing much and then evolves into a pretty competent player after 4 to 5 weeks. So,
I have a lot of respect for her in that she came into this game. She didn't know what she was doing and she played it slow, which is, I think, is the right way to come in to a game that you don't really know a lot about. You just sort of like, all right, let me just feel this out. And then she's sort of like, okay, got it. And then, you know, then she moved. And so she's done a really good job. And I feel like that she's coming into this final five with a lot of momentum, Aika.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Candy. I'm rooting for her. I just like the way she handled herself. I like the way I've seen Tamar put her in some really bad positions. I've seen a lot of people in that house has put her in a bad. Even Ricky has put her in a bad position. I remember I was watching live feeds and she was crying and Ricky. And if I have never wanted to slap somebody so hard, who I was not in a house with more than Ricky.
Ricky.
I was like, Ricky, if you don't take your ass, can I say your behind out the door and leave Candy alone, like I'm going to come for you at this point.
When so was this? When did you want to slap Ricky?
I wanted to slap him a bunch of times, but that time when he made Candy, like when Candy was crying and, you know, and stating she was on the block, it was a live feed moment. And Ricky came in talking about, well, it's the game.
It's the game. Yeah, and then they go in the bedroom and all butt hurt when they get nominated, Rob. It's just, again, the hypocrisy of it all. That's what we can't stand. We can't stand the hypocrisy. Also, the fact that Ricky and Candy had a conversation. What was it? Like, I lose track. It's like a day or two ago, maybe yesterday. And, you know, Ricky, it's no surprise, Ricky, for the first eviction, Ricky and Tamar wanted to keep Natalie. They did not want to keep Lolo. They had no faith in Lolo's abilities to win a competition. They wanted to keep Natalie, and they went to Candy to try to feel her out because they really wanted her to evict Lolo and keep Natalie. And Candy wasn't having any of it. She was just like, "Nah, I'm gonna evict Natalie. She's the stronger competitor." And then the retell of that from Ricky was like, "Oh, she got an attitude." she got an attitude now. I mean, like, listen to her. She won't even listen to us. When that's not the truth at all. So, you know, Ricky. I mean, like, Ricky is like the worst Big Brother player, I feel like, for this kind of a season, because he doesn't give us any entertainment. He's not pleasant and he's hypocritical. And that's just a deadly combination for me. And he's boring. He's boring, too. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. And Aika wants to slap. Is that why you want to slap him, Aika?
Yeah, I am not. When I interviewed him, he said to me, I am the most intelligent person that will be in the house. And when he said that, I was just like, oh, you're one of those. Okay.
I wonder what you were thinking when he said that.
Isn't this amazing, though, that we came into this season and it was 7 men and 5 women going into this season, and then take out Scaramucci, and then here we are at the final 5 with 4 women and only 1 man, and one of the women left tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different Big Brother game for sure, you know. And which, honestly, this means that a woman will win Big Brother CBB US2. That's the hashtag, right? There's no way they could let Ricky win.
Well, I'm just saying, like, okay, so let me paint the picture for a Ricky win, all right? A Ricky win comes if Tamar wins HOH, or obviously Ricky himself wins HOH at the final 5, and they evict either Dina or Candy, go to the final 4 completely intact with their trio, and Ricky and Lolo take each other to the end. Ricky can beat Lolo in the final 2. In fact, I think Ricky has a shot at beating Tamar in the final 2. I don't think it's likely, but I cannot rule it out. And thus, I would not cash that check, Aika. I think Ricky has a shot.
It's wishful thinking. Like, if Tamar wins HOH, I'm thinking she'll put up Ricky and Dina. And if Candy wins, I think she'll put up Lolo and Ricky.
I hope that's what happens. I'm nervous that Tamar is really so through with Candy at this point that she just completely goes with the Lolo Ricky crowd and says, you know what, I'm all in. Because that's what she was saying like a couple days ago, like, I'm all in. So if that's true, then she's going to put up Candy and Dina, and that's not a world I want to live in.
You think that Tamar's done with Candy?
I look at it, it's impossible to tell, Rob. She changes her opinion on a dime. I mean, like, my crystal ball is in the shop, so I can't predict what she's going to do. I can only give you my best guess, and my best guess right now is she has been pretty peeved at Candy. However, now that Tom Green is out of the house and she felt like Tom Green was corrupting Candy a little bit, and Candy can't work with Tom Green anymore, I feel like maybe things will get back to normal with Tamar and Candy, and maybe they will be cool. I'm hoping that's the case.
I think Tamar will never screw Candy over here, because that is the one person that she has a relationship with on the outside, and that is the one that's going to, like, she screws over Lolo, you know, after February 13th. She doesn't have to see Lolo ever again if she doesn't want to, but she is going to she has different relationships with Candy. She knows her. I think that she is going to tread lightly around Candy.
Yeah, I don't see her putting Candy on the block. If anything, I see her going, you know, the long haul with Candy, simply because they do have history. I'm not quite sure how good the history is, but I know she does have some history with Candy.
Right.
I don't see her turning on Candy. I see that. But I feel like the things that she says to, like, Ricky and Lolo about Candy, it's more of like venting, like truth, but she won't do it. Like, she won't turn on her. But she's just getting her venting out. It's like, but I feel like when she leaves, she'll just be like, I didn't mean it. I was just saying whatever. But she kind of means it.
I think that's probably true. I mean, I'm like, that's the thing where I'm questioning, because I'm like, it sounds like she's against Candy at this point. She's kind of through with her. But on the other hand, Aika does make a fair point in that in the room with the two of them, she's kind of A, just sort of venting, and B, just sort of team building with the two of them. Like, yeah, yeah, I hate her too. When in reality, that's not the case. But she knows they hate her, so she has to, like, it's like, again, like Alyssa in BB15, where Andy and all of them, you know, were bagging on Alyssa. They didn't, some of them said they really didn't hate Alyssa, but they felt like in order to fit in with the crowd and not get in bad with anybody, they had to sort of go in with bagging on Alyssa as well. So that's something that comes up in Big Brother, and Celebrity Big Brother is not immune to that.
I want to talk about Dina Lohan here for a second. I think that what Brent said about Ricky Williams being, you know, the worst kind of person, with all due respect to Dina Lohan, she seems like a nice lady. But I mean, she is really bringing nothing to the table except for this this catfish story. What is the point of Dina Lohan?
Rob, like Ika, she got drunk and she got the cowboy hat on, and then she ran to the exercise room, and then she also went into the diary room tonight and was still drunk and couldn't even get her words out.
Was she was drunk tonight on the live show?
I swear she was sipping on the wine.
Did you hear this? This was Dina Lohan voting out Tom Green tonight, or at least trying to vote out Tom Green.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Julie.
Please cast your vote.
I vote Tom.
I vote Tom.
I can't.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Julie.
Please cast your vote.
I vote Tom.
Yeah. Ika, is Dina Lohan being catfished?
You know what? I'm gonna answer that, but before I do, I'm gonna say, Brent, I'm sorry. Rob is the pettiest person.
Oh,
the pettiest one.
Well, see, I knew. Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been talking to the cast of Big Brother 20, Ika?
petty. Dina is 100. I mean, you live in 2019. 18 was just last year. And 5 years, you've been talking to this man. You've never seen him. You've never did a FaceTime, a nothing. You can't even fly to go see him. Like, I know that Lindsay has a lot of money. You could go on an airplane and go see the man. Like, you know, like, you could see him. But there was a picture going around on Twitter, and it was the guy, her boyfriend, saying that, hey, it's me, and, you know, and it's not a catfish. I'm going to take that and bring it to finale and be like, I think we found your boo.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because she'll be just coming out of sequester. Ika, you take a picture of that guy and like, oh, who's this? She's like, I don't know. I've never seen this person before. Like, this guy says he's your boyfriend. Now, Brent, did she say she never even seen a picture of the guy?
She's never even seen a picture of him. Yeah, he's old school, he says. He doesn't do FaceTime. He doesn't have. But then all of a sudden he whipped up a Twitter account in a day and a half. And tweeted out.
That's so fake.
Well, I can't tell if the catfish story is fake, but I can tell that Twitter, I have to believe that's fake. Like, so you didn't FaceTime her for 5 years. She gets on Celebrity Big Brother, and then you whip up a Twitter account in a day and a half. That doesn't fly with me.
Yeah, not since Janelle took the picture of the handbag in the airport of I'm going to Greece. Have we had such a fake picture on Big Brother Twitter, Brent?
Well, that's probably fair. Look, I think
reverse image search that guy. You guys are so busy worried about what was going on with the Hive cruise. This is you guys are sleeping on this.
I think that somebody could probably, but we don't care because we want to let Dina live in her. Just let her live her life, Rob. Like she's happy. She, you know what? I know what you said. She's got money. Lindsay's got money. That's all true. She doesn't want to know. I think she doesn't want to know the answer. She wants to live in the world where this guy is real and is her hopes and dreams. Mm-hmm. And she can just sort of let her have that.
Mm-hmm. Ika, get to the bottom of this next week, okay?
I will. I'm on it.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that's the only airtime she really got was about talking about being catfish. Do you think she knows?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
To a vote, Tom.
Rob is so petty. I forgot he's petty.
I tweeted it out the minute it happened. I was like, did she just say what I think she said? And then I'm like, I'm positive I heard that. My only question was, did she say I evict to a vote or I evict to a vote?
I think I evict to a vote.
I vic to a vote, Tom.
Yeah, I vic to a vote, Tom.
I cannot.
Yeah, and she's going to have a vote on the final jury. Just like, keep that in mind. By the way, Lolo won a counting competition tonight. And as I was pointed out on Twitter, I think by Puya, that's really a bad look considering she was the one who asked Julie. So I get it. I'm the one who's the tiebreaker, right?
I have that clip too. This was Lolo tonight before she makes her nominations.
Lolo, please.
But as HOH, I would still be the tiebreaker.
Well, there is no tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
The voting pool is three. After you name your two nominees. So please.
Yeah, that was Julie Ica going like, bitch, please. Like, what are you talking? Why are you trying me? Why are you trying me?
When Lolo was like, oh my God, I don't know who to pick. And Julie was like, you have to pick someone. It was a huge letdown because all I could hear was Arissa saying, you can and you will.
Yeah, you can and you will. Like, Cindy.
Right? And I'm just like, Julie, like, you could have said something a bit more dramatic.
Yeah. You know, Kirsten McInnes on Twitter said, you have Arissa Cox, who's like, you can and you will. And then you got Julie Chen, who's like, well, you're really going to have to. It's a live show. Come on, let's go.
Well, she said, yeah, take your HOH away. So what would have happened if Lolo's like, I
would have liked to see that.
I can't. Like, all right, you're on the block, everybody. Now Lolo's on the block.
She was, I was hoping that, I think all of Twitter was hoping that Lolo would become the nominee.
I don't know. We were in uncharted waters, Ica. I don't know what was going to happen. Yeah, it was like, okay, we all hate Tom Green. Okay, but now who else? I think everybody else is kind of cool. I don't know who else to put up on the block here. And then ultimately, she's like, Candy, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, let me just say, Ica, she was so weak tonight because those nominations were so obvious. She just didn't want to make them. Like, I don't know why she's been like the mean girl the entire time. And then at the end, when Julie tells her the rules for the upcoming week in the finale, she's like, okay, the four of you, besides Lolo, will compete in the next HOH competition. And Lolo acted like you took her toy away from her or something. Like, girl, that's not what always happens when you're the outgoing HOH. Don't throw a fit. And she acted like a fit. She's acting like a fool in the house.
You know what I noticed with the celebrities? I don't know if they think they're only on TV when it's like an eviction or a veto, because their personalities are so much more tamer and nicer when it's a live show.
Yeah.
And then it's just like when they're not sure what will be aired, they just act crazy.
That's a good point, because she didn't know she was on camera. I mean, like, from her perspective, Julie Chen is talking, so she probably thinks that Julie is on camera, and she just gave an honest reaction that was, again, entitled. It was like, oh, well, why don't I get to play in the HOH? Because you're the outgoing HOH! Bends the rules! Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, you know, not knowing when you're on camera and when you're not, how about tonight when we got the announcement of, okay, we have a new surprise twist tonight. Tom can't play in the HOH. Well, don't worry. We got another competition coming up because we have another breaking celebrity news. And now here's, everybody. And nobody is even in the living room. So I think Ricky Williams was like, is there something? Are they saying something right now? What's it? Like, not one person caught the update.
They had like no sense of urgency to like run, see what's going on, like nothing.
Like, it sounded like they couldn't even hear it. Like, I mean, I didn't get the feeling that because, you know, if Big Brother house guests hear something, they come running to the living room.
Right.
I mean, they acted
not
like
the celebrities.
No, the celebrities can't be bothered, Rob. They
like,
can't be bothered.
They'll tell us. And Julie was like, well, let me tell you about the announcement that you guys all missed.
She was mad. Julie was a little mad. She's like, you all missed it, but I will tell you anyway.
Poor Kevin is breaking all this celebrity news in the house that somebody is going to be safe tonight. Brent, did you feel like that this was blatantly an extra shot for Tom Green?
I mean, okay, I don't know if it was. I'm inclined to believe it wasn't, obviously, for Tom Green. But it's such a bad look to have to just not even give us a warning, to just drop a twist right in the middle of a live show and say, oh, by the way, we have the final Big Entertainment Tonight twist coming up. It just felt a little bit too neat for Tom Green. And I think, honestly, that's kind of why I'm okay with him going home tonight, because if he had stayed because of that, I feel like he would have really had some haters on Twitter. And Tom doesn't need some haters. He doesn't want haters.
He doesn't want any more hate.
Go out with style. Man.
Now, Ika, is it the same theme music for ET Canada? Is that your theme song too?
I mean, it sounds really familiar.
It's the same. Yeah, I listen to ET Canada. I mean, occasionally. So I get around.
I have to say, though, it was too much. We had three competitions in a row tonight. I was like, what am I watching? that we had, in 30 minutes, we watched three competitions in a row, Ika. I'm like, wait, what's happening now?
I know. It was a lot of competitions, just it was too much, but they spend so much time just like showing Tom dancing around. I just felt like, now I get it. The live feeds are a lot more like, oh my god. And because when I watch the actual show, I'm like, where's the stuff? Like, don't show me Tom dancing for 5 minutes. Show me the drama that I'm watching on live feed.
Look what the live feeders did to Ika. Now she's just another person of like, what is this edit?
I was glad that they showed us the Tamar and Tom conversation. I mean, I didn't even think we were going to get that, but I feel like maybe they had to show us that. They've been really trying to actively protect the celebrities from themselves when they see the really, really horrible stuff. And so I feel like Tamar's, by comparison, you know, where she's calling him a bully and threatening her, and you know that he needs to own his shit, and he's not playing the game right, and that's why she can yell at him. It didn't look great, and she was a little harsh, but I was glad they showed it. Number one, and number two, I feel like that it was a little bit more balanced in the way they presented it than maybe they have in the past, because neither one of them looks particularly great. I know Taryn will probably take issue with that, but I don't think that I'm saying that Tom Green didn't look great. But Tom's a little weird in the way he interacts with people. He's not a great social player. He's a little
he's awkward. Fake. But I thought in the diary room, I thought that he had the opportunity to defend himself in a way that he's not able to on the live feeds where they've come after him. I thought he did a good job of saying like, I'm not a bully. I'm playing a game. I should be allowed to throw around an idea if I want to.
There was one point where he was like, they're bullying me, like,
you don't need to like to then turn it around.
I wasn't here for that, him going that far. I mean, I'm like, look, I feel like he couldn't look at his potential moves through the prism that everybody else was looking at them through. I mean, Candy told him to his face, don't do that, and I'm on your side. And then he went and, you know, was trying to force it to happen, because basically he was saying to Candy, I don't trust you. I want Ricky gone, and I don't trust you to be able to do what I'm asking you to do. So I'm going to force you to do that. And you can call it whatever you want, but he was basically forcing her to make a move that she on her own would not make by herself. So that's why they felt like he was bullying them a little bit within the game, or threatening them, or just forcing them to make it. Look, it's a good game move, but you can call it what you want.
I feel like I wish Candy had kept that information to herself and not had told Tamar.
Me too.
Because if you're in an alliance with someone, if I were to go to Dimitri and tell him something, and then he just went and attacked the HOH, and like, I would be so angry, because it's like, first of all, you don't do that. I'm telling you so you're aware, because we're building trust, not for you to go freak out and kill my connection in the house.
Right.
I did not like Tamar in that moment at all. It really bothered me.
Yeah, and it really did hurt Candy. And that's the reason why Ricky stayed in the end, or at least one of the reasons why Ricky stayed in the end, because Tom lost his trust in Candy because he viewed her as a traitor, as having to spill private conversations that they had with each other. And he was like, well, who can I trust at this point? I might as well keep Ricky in the game. At least then there'll be another guy in the game and I won't be by myself. And maybe somebody else will take a look at a different target. Didn't work out that way, but I got where he was coming from.
Yeah, just to go back to that Tamar conversation. And she goes back to the bedroom. She's like, Tom's going to put me on the block. He's thinking about it. And Natalie, even Marie, is like, don't even talk to him. Don't even, you know what? Don't. And she's like, what? You think I'm going to go talk to him? You think I'm going to go beg Tom Green? Like, I'm done with Tom Green. And then like 5 seconds later, I was like, you know, I'm about to go give him a piece of my mind. Like, but I want to ask you a Big Brother Canada comparison, because I saw a lot of people making the comparison to Kevin Martin here with Tom Green. Of he lost his Bruno this week when Cato went out of the house. And another thing about Kevin Martin is that he made his allies at times feel not great, because then he was too good to his enemies. So he was good to his enemies, but not as good to his allies, and it ended up creating some rough moments for him. And here's Tom Green saving his biggest enemy with the veto. Did you see any of Kevin in Tom Green?
You know what's so funny? So tonight, as I was watching it, I looked at Dimitri and I'm like, doesn't Tom Green remind you of Kevin a bit? But it wasn't. I mean, the veto part, yeah, it was when he was just in that room talking and just thinking, like Tom just thought he was so smart, telling the cameras, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to just, you know, I'm all alone, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to shock everyone. And I feel like people would say Kevin would do stuff like that. So when I saw him doing that, I'm like, doesn't that kind of remind you of Kevin? Just off by himself talking to the cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a poor man's Kevin Martin, though, Rob. Because Kevin, yeah. Kevin did comp out.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin won. Not only that, he also comped out. And the other thing, too, is that the comparison that I think is most apt is Kevin Martin did that weird thing where you, like, nobody expected him to do the thing at the Final Five veto that he ended up doing. Was it Final Five? Yeah, Final Five. Where, like, and then Aika was like stunned and Karen was stunned. Well, Karen knew what was going to happen, but it was a big mess. But basically in the end, they got Kevin to do what they wanted him to do, but like they didn't realize it was necessarily going to happen that way. It was just like my Big Brother Canada 5 memories are escaping me, but it was the similarities were there.
Hey, Brent had to block a lot of it out after the fact, Aika.
You know what? I don't get why they were clapping. Did you see them clapping? I was like,
which part?
When Ricky came off the block?
Yeah.
They're just fake like that. I mean, really, I'm not kidding. It's like they all know they're on TV. They know this is being taped. They know this is going to be shown. So you're right. Like, they behave differently when they definitely know they're going to be on TV rather than when they may or may not be on TV. Yeah. So I feel like that's part of it.
Just to go back to that move, because it really was a big move, and it got kind of lost in the shuffle, because then ultimately Tom goes out in the second part. But it's probably like one of the bigger moves of the season, where Tom takes Ricky off the block. Aika, was that a good move? Because let me hear what you think about it.
You know what? I feel like either way, Natalie, Tom, or Lolo had to go tonight. I feel like it was great taking out Natalie because she has the strongest bond with Lolo and Ricky. So she kind of like Lolo is the hothead, and Natalie's closer to Ricky, and she's also closer to Lolo, in my opinion. And Natalie's also more likable throughout the house as well. Natalie has a lot of power in that house because of her relationships with her hold on people like Tamar, Ricky, Lolo. Natalie had to go. So I think what he should have done was maybe pull Ricky in, have a conversation, say, hey, I made a mistake. I'm taking you off the block. I want to call a truce.
Right.
It's something, and then do it. Because then when, you know, it's not in good faith at that time, because no one had a conversation, no one's held to anything.
Yeah, it's like he made this move and he got nothing for it. Where if he pulls Ricky in and says, Ricky, you're going to go home, but I could save you. I could use this veto on you.
But you and I are, we are team fun. You have to be in my alliance. And then, if he say, if Ricky's like, hey, you know what? Screw you. Then don't use the veto on him.
Rob, I think this is the problem, though, that Tom wanted to make a move for TV. He did what every Big Brother potential player dreams about, which is, because I know people were talking about this on Twitter, that he did the move where you don't tell anybody what you're going to do. You don't telegraph it to production. You don't tell your allies. You don't tell your enemies. You don't tell anybody. And then you just walk up there and blow people's minds away. But, and that's great.
But what do you get?
Exactly. But that's all Tom was concerned with, was the TV show. He wanted, how is this going to look to people? Will this make good TV? That was part of his whole murder mystery thing where he was trying to figure out who had the power. He was bored. He wanted to make it for good TV. So I feel like that was, if you're going to criticize Tom.
Do we like good TV, Ika?
You know what? I do like good TV. I do. But I mean, Ricky,
do you like good TV?
I like good TV, but I like good gameplay first.
You know what it is? Ricky just isn't likable enough where that impact would have happened.
Okay.
To the people.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And also, if he would have made a deal with Ricky, I mean, I don't know what would have happened. If Tom goes to Ricky beforehand and says, hey, I think you're probably going to go home here, but I can use the veto. If I use the veto, we'll take each other to the final two. Will you agree with that? I mean, it looked to us on the outside like Ricky had given up right before that ceremony, but then as Taryn pointed out on the live feed update, once he got the veto around his neck, he was like, oh, well, I guess this game isn't so bad after all. Like, so he was there to win. I mean, he wants to win the game. He's hungry to win. So I think he would have agreed to that with Tom. Whether or not that deal would have held, though, I think is another story. I think probably no.
Okay, let's take some questions here with Ika. And let's go to this one from Mindy Bond. Will Cousins be coming to CBS All Access at some point in the future? Tom Green could be cast as a long-lost cousin who challenges their inheritance from Cato to live in the guest room. Brent, did you enjoy the Cousins with Ross and Meta?
You know, I'm going to get some hate for like kissing CBS's ass. I actually did enjoy this. Oh. I thought this was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. I thought it was actually pretty funny. Look, I'm a child of the 80s. You know, I grew up in the age of laugh tracks. So I actually thought this was okay.
Forget the 80s. Put Cousins in the lineup right in between The Neighborhood and what's Young the show Sheldon. With Damon Wayans Jr. where the rock star moves in.
I don't know, Rob. I watch like Young Sheldon and The Amazing Race and Big Brother, and that's about it on CBS and Survivor. You know, that's it.
Yeah. Ika, would you watch Cousins? No.
You know what? I like the 1 minute, 2 minute clip that we got. I like that, but I think it ends there. And you know, I was actually impressed by Meta because basketball players are not great actors, and I think he did a great job.
He did a great job. That's the part that made it fun. I mean, like Ross is campy. You know, I watch Ross all the time on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's fun. He can get into it. He can act. He can be silly. But what I was so taken by was Meta.
Yeah, he's like, very deadpan. He's good.
Yeah, it's such a good time with it. Like, he wasn't too cool for school. He was actually there to have fun, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go. James, you think that Tom screwed up by giving Ricky the veto instead of just evicting him? Or is Tom a dead man walking either way? I don't think that anything changes. I really don't. I think that Tom is good. Tom goes out in the second. It's just a matter of that. Then Ricky went out first and he could have been, beat his chest a little bit that I outlasted you, Ricky. I was the last man standing. You know, I don't know what changes.
Well, I don't think anything changes. I mean, I think that it was a wash taking Ricky off the block. I mean, Natalie had to go at some point, you had to break that threesome up. I really didn't care which one of them left. I think you could make an argument that strategy wise, it was probably more appropriate for Ricky to go home rather than for Natalie to go home because Natalie was really coming after Candy. But by the end of it, Natalie was really coming after Tom, too. So it didn't really matter. I'm glad Natalie left.
Okay. How about this one from Felipe? Did Tamar go too far dancing on Tom Green's grave and Vic to vote herself out of the running for America's favorite house guest? Ika, do you think that that Tamar will, she had the power of the publicist. Do you think that she may not be America's favorite player now?
She's definitely entertaining. And I think, I'm just thinking in her mind, she probably thinks it came off funnier than it actually did. So to her, it's just like, oh, like she's being extra. She's being petty. She's being funny. I don't think she understands the viewers and the casual viewers of Big Brother that came off very mean. This is not Braxton Family Values. This is not The Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. Where that stuff is like, oh my God, did you see what happened there? This is Big Brother. And the fans, I don't think they like that very much. But you know, she is the only, and like the only entertainment we've had all season. And I'm pretty sure she'll continue to entertain. I'm not quite sure if she'll win the favorite or not, just because coming towards the end, you know, her pettiness and her outburst is coming off as just like, you know, even I'm just like, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, Rob, I think it was a little bit of a mixed bag, though. I mean, in fairness to Tamar, she was very funny throughout the entire live show, to the point where Julie Chen is laughing with her. Like, mm-hmm. You know, she's giving us a lot of fun and making us smile. On the other hand, I do think I share Ika's view that I don't think that Tamar realized how it looked. And also the fact that it felt like an eternity from the time that Tamar won the veto to the end of the show when Tom was actually evicted. I mean, and at that, once she wins the veto, you know, Tom's gone. I even tweeted it out, I think, at like 10:35. So there's like a whole 25 minutes left where we know Tom's going home. They know Tom's going home. We're just kind of waiting to go through the motions and let it happen. And it's not fun. That's not good TV.
Yeah. I do wonder, you know, we didn't get to see any of the conversation that was happening like during the commercial break. It seemed like that Tom and Tamar were sort of like arguing for like, it seemed like that Tom was making a pitch to Lolo. I know these double evictions happen faster in the US version as opposed to when you guys do the Big Brother Canada version. I feel like that it plays out a little bit longer in Big Brother Canada, but I feel like that in the commercial break, Tom was trying to pitch Lolo on, Lolo, keep me safe. And Tamar was like, don't listen to him. And you wonder if maybe they had some, a little bit of a heated conversation during the commercial break.
I feel like with Tom, he doesn't really like to engage in the heated conversations. It seems like that was more Kato. Mm-hmm. Tom tends to try to deflect or steer away from it. So she was kind of getting heated. I could see him saying, like, just kind of like shutting down and not wanting to involve himself in that. She made me feel really bad for Tom tonight. And I never really felt that.
You don't even like Tom.
Huh?
And you don't even like Tom.
Right? I mean, like, not like is a very strong statement, but I just, I mean, like, he wasn't like a favorite of mine for sure. But tonight, maybe because I've played the game before and I just know how it feels to sit there and just like, he has no real friends left. He does think he's alone. His paranoia is the best of him for sure. And I mean, that's a different story, but. And you just feel like you're at the very bottom and there's no more fight that you could fight. And to have someone do that, it would be really hard for me. And I like it.
Rob, the one thing to keep in mind, though, the reason I think that they were talking is because Tom felt like he had a little bit of a deal with Lolo. I mean, this is Tom's crazy Big Brother play. As Taryn pointed out on the live feeds, Tom said to Lolo, okay, I'm going to put you on the block, but I'm going to make sure that you don't go home. And because of that, you won't put me on the block next week. So from Tom's point of view, he fulfilled his part of the deal. I mean, you heard him say during the veto ceremony, even when he replaced Lolo and put her on the block and took Ricky off, he said to Lolo, hey, you know, I told you at the beginning of the week that you were not my target. You're still not my target. And so if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to make that happen. And so once it got to the point where she was saved 4-0, from Tom's point of view, he's like, you owe me.
Well, that's
I agree. That's crazy. But it that's how he feels.
You know, again, just like the whole thing with taking Ricky off the block, you know, you have to, you know, like, you know, invoice those things before you go to collect on them, where it's like, OK, so Lolo, I'm going to keep you safe. And then when she's safe, then remember, like, but he's not talking to anybody. He's just making these moves.
Yeah, he's just
has expectations.
Yeah, he never got an agreement from Tamar. I'm sorry, from Lolo that was going to go through. Right. It was him talking to her, saying this, her looking sad. This is when he was telling her that she was going to be on the block, even though she ultimately didn't end up on the block. But then she did end up on the block as a replacement nominee. Because remember, he told her first that you're going on the block. Then he changed his mind, and she wasn't on the block. And then she got mad at that. And then he ultimately backdoored her, but she wasn't the target. It was a weird week. Yeah. Rob. Yeah.
Too much going on. Scott, do we have any more questions here tonight? I want to talk about the format also for the fan. Can you believe we're gonna have a show on Monday night and we're not even going to evict somebody on Monday night, Ika?
Yeah, and there's 5 people left. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Like, what are we doing on Monday night?
I don't know. The recap of our season. They better not. I really hope they
well,
don't.
I think you're going to be disappointed, Ika.
Look, here's the thing. They only have one. They only have one competition for the final HOH. Rather, in normal Big Brother, they have like, you know, 3 on finale night. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to get an HOH competition on Monday night. We're going to get the nominees. Then that's where it's going to end. And then at the start of the finale, we're going to get a little bit of campaigning, veto competition, and a vote. And then one final HOH competition to determine who goes to the final 2. Again, they're doing the same thing this year that they did last year. I'm sure Taryn and Melissa agree with me that this is dumb. I don't understand. Like, you have a great show and you have episodes where nothing happens. Why don't you just have one more double eviction somewhere along the way so you can have a normal finale like every other season of Big Brother? Why do you go to the finale with 5 people and then let 4 people compete in the final HOH? It's just so dumb.
Well, I'll never understand why they feel like, okay, let's just have that, like the episode before the finale, make sure nothing happens, and then we'll have way too much to do in the finale.
Which,
like,
they always do.
And then the finale will just go by so fast it won't make any sense because we had to do a million things. Right.
We won't get any explanation from anybody about why they voted the way they did or why they felt the way they did. We're just going to get the keys in the box. Julie reads the keys. They come out, throw the confetti, girl, bye. Like, yeah. That's what it's.
Girl, bye.
Okay. All right. Ika, do you think that we'll see the mooch on the finale?
Scammer Moochie? I don't know.
Yes.
He wasn't even a real house guest.
Ika, did you, and you have such good instincts for these things, did you suspect that he wasn't a real house guest when you interviewed him before the season?
Listen, I'm sorry. He was a real house guest. CBS does not have me.
Okay.
That, to me, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but for me, what's his name?
Scaramucci?
Scaramucci is what he is.
Why?
Because it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not joking. Like, he was very, he was very, if Joey was the mole, I would have believed it.
Yes, because you asked Joey Lawrence that, Joey, if you went on the block, how would you feel? And he said, I'd be happy.
And you were like, I your face, Ika, was the best. You were like, you're like the craziest Big Brother player. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'd be happy to go home. You know, CBS asked me to do this, and I said I would do it. You know,
okay. So, Ika, what do you think happened with Scaramucci then?
Scaramucci.
Why? What do you think? What do you think happened?
You know, I don't know what exactly happened, but my thoughts are, it seems like he either didn't want to be there anymore. Maybe he didn't like how he was coming off or looking. Maybe he saw himself in one of the HOH costumes. I don't know what he saw, but he didn't like it. And I think he wanted to leave. And CBS came up with something really quickly. to say, because usually when there's a twist, we know about it. Why didn't we know about this twist? Going into the house, oh, one of the house guests is not really a house guest. Which one is it? Can you guys tell? Something. TBS, I'm sorry. You ain't scamming me.
Rob, I have to say, Shelly in the chat has it the best. She says that Mooch had a get out of first boot embarrassment clause in his contract. Okay. That's probably true, actually.
Hey, look, it's not a quit if you're a twist.
All right.
Yeah. Remember. Okay. All right. Let's do a couple more questions here with Ike. This is Tom said he's rooting for Lola. What are the chances that he says the same thing after he sees everything? Love you, Ike. That's from Marietta. So you think that, Brent, you think that we're going to see Tom Green on social media and he is going to be out on Lolo?
He has no idea what Lolo has been saying about him and Natalie, even Marie for that matter. He has no clue. He thinks that what he heard from them was bad when they were calling him a bully and threatening him, but he didn't know that behind his back, they were saying things that were really much worse. The devil, he's not funny. He's a chauvinist. He's a womanizer. Just terrible, terrible stuff. Or hates women. I think that's
womanizer.
What Yeah, sorry, hates what? Women, hates women. He's anti-woman. Sorry. I want to make sure I'm clear. But look, none of it was true. That wasn't true. They were just saying things that were trying to villainize him and turn him into a caricature of himself that wasn't even true. So there's no chance in hell I think he's going to vote for her. He'd have to be very forgiving for that.
Okay, Ike, Chrissy Hoffbot wants to know, will Tom Green be on Big Brother Canada 7? Okay, how about this? How about this twist? Bring Tom Green to Big Brother Canada.
I mean, you know what? I feel like casting for that's probably already done. And I feel like, and you guys know how the United States are. They treat Canada like the second stepchild or something. They wouldn't, there are probably some clause in his contract. Do not even going to Canadian talk show. You're not allowed.
Oh, well, how did Jace get in the mix for Big Brother Canada 4?
Jace, we barely knew you.
Oh, yeah. No, Brett. Brett, so Brett said Jace. You know what? Who knows? We might have him on for a competition. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah.
I have no idea about casting.
Hey, they let Dan Giesling come in one time.
They did, but after that, who else did they really have from America?
Like, no, then they had their own stars.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay. All right. Mr. Robot Taryn wants to know, Aika, which house guests are boring?
Oh my God. Ricky, Candy's boring. Dina's boring. Even Lolo's boring to me. Tamar's the only like entertaining one. You know, she's the only one where like Lolo, whenever she blows up, I'm just like, just stop.
Yeah.
You're scary.
What about you're Kato? Right. Was Kato boring?
Kato was, yes. I remember when I did that interview, I was like, how much longer do I have to like laugh at things that I don't want to laugh at?
You have practice from Big Brother. Like, come on.
It was so bad.
You just wanted to be done with talking with Kato?
He's just very, he's not funny at all. Mm-hmm. And he's constantly trying to make jokes.
Yes.
And they just don't go ahead. And if you're not funny and you're always trying to say something or do something funny, it's awkward.
Oh boy. Now I'm rethinking.
I thought he was okay. He was a little bit of a try hard, which can really rub people the wrong way, which goes to what Ike is saying about he was trying to always be funny even though he's not funny, and then it just comes off as cringe. So yeah
it comes off, and I feel bad. Like sometimes I'm like so hard on these people, and then I go back to interview them, I'm just like,
Ike, you gotta keep it real. You gotta keep it real. Nobody will listen to you if you don't keep it real. You know this. Let people get mad, but you have to, you know.
Rob, has that ever happened to you? Like, you're like,
yes.
And you're just like, hey, and you low key feel kind of bad. And just like, you know, like I like, And they're just like, did you root for me? Did you like me? You're my favorite interview. And I'm just like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened, Aika. What are you going to do? Yeah.
What do you say, Rob?
That's why, like, they don't let me talk to any Big Brother people anymore.
Did you root for me? And like, what do you say?
He can't tell you, because then that will reveal the tools of the trade.
Yeah.
Because the next time that he has some person who he doesn't like who says, Rob, you're my favorite, were you rooting for me? He can't reveal, because then they would know that he's lying.
Yeah.
Rob, I'm asking for advice.
Okay. Well, I think that we have different styles, but I think that you could tell people, like, I think that you can be brutally honest with people, and that's part of your charm.
I guess. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you could tell. You could say to somebody, like, if somebody said, hey, were you rooting for me? You'd be like, no, I wasn't rooting for you. Like, you're very nice outside the house, but within the house, no, I wasn't here for you. Like,
Yeah. So
yeah, I felt like that'd be okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Let's see. This is one from Teton Jones. Aika, who, when you do those preseason interviews, how much, or how do you know how much time you have left? Is there someone off camera making anxious faces at you? I think they just, you know, give you the signal to wrap it up, right?
Yes, we wrap it up. But after the interview, I spend about 10 to 15 minutes with them in the room off camera. And then sometimes, like Scaramucci, we had him for maybe even longer than that, because I think he ate his lunch in our room. So I have them for longer than I do for the interview. Mm-hmm. But they say stuff, but I just never repeat it. Like, they even ask me a bunch of questions, like, tell me about the game, tell me what to do. They ask me for advice. They always ask, or they say things that I won't repeat, you know, about other people or whatever. But we get a chunk of time with them off camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Then Kieran wants to know, who's the first target among the final five? I've said it's Dina Lohan. Who do you say, Brent?
I say it's Candy. Okay. I think that Candy's going to go home one way or the other. It's so hard to tell, though. A lot of it depends on not only who wins HOH, but who wins the veto. What I tweeted out about the veto at the final six also holds true for the final five, especially if you're a fan of the No Licky crowd. If the person who's not nominated of the trio wins the veto, then Dina or Candy is going to lose their own ally during their own HOH. So it's not all about the HOH this time. It's also about the veto.
Okay. Aika, we have one last question. Torrance Armstrong says, can Demetrius go on camera with his shirt off? These thirsty listeners.
I'll get him on camera for you guys.
Okay.
Keep my clothes on.
He says he'll keep his clothes on.
Yeah, stop objectifying him, people. Come on.
Yeah, come on, people.
You know what's not just so a funny?
Piece of meat, okay? He's a piece of meat, everybody.
I've had women come up to us and, like, lift his shirt up and try to, like, touch his stomach and get pictures
in front of you, Aika?
Yes, they're not scared of me, these women. They're all about getting into Dimitri's clothes and touching him and stuff.
Aika, it's like he's pregnant. It's like, you know, because you go up to a pregnant woman and you, like, rub her stomach, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they literally, and then they look at me like, oh, like, it's okay.
And Demetrius isn't scared?
Like, me. Okay. Like, as in, like, this is fine. Like, this is, you know, don't worry about, like, you know, it's like, it's normal. Like, oh, don't worry about this. This is what we have to do to your boyfriend.
He's living dangerously. And what do you say then, Aika? You don't just stand there.
You know, like, sometimes, like, I'll give a look.
And the look.
I give a look because I don't want to say anything and sound crazy. And then you have people on Twitter. Oh, I mean, Aika, she bullied me in real life. So I stay away from that, you know. So I give a look, and the look, and either they understand what that look means or Dimitri does. And he steps away with that shirt down.
Okay. All right, let's try to focus on what's coming up next. All right, we got the challenge, War of the Worlds premiere recap. We're talking about all the Big Brother people are on there. 10 million Big Brother people are on there on the challenge, War of the Worlds, on our wrap ups. And then News AF, we're talking about the cryptocurrency company where the CEO dropped dead and nobody knows the password about what to do, on the latest News AF with Danny and Tyson. Then Taryn will be live tomorrow morning. What's going to happen in the fallout of the double eviction? Find out tomorrow morning. Hopefully a Liana Saturday is on the way for our latest Celebrity Big Brother recap. And then Monday night, we'll be back after the Monday night episode. Join us live on Monday night for the final episode before the finale. And then we'll be back for the finale on Wednesday night. Thanks so much to the patrons of Rob's Podcast, robhaswebsite.com/patron, to help support Rob Has a Podcast. Ika, this was so wonderful to catch up with you. Ika, where can people follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at the Ika Wong, so you guys could find me there.
Yes.
And Dimitri is like, can you also tell them about our YouTube channel? I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell them about YouTube.
You can tell us about your YouTube channel. That's why you can plug it.
No, it's okay.
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 Stop.
Ika, is it true that you're even watching the live feed updates when you're putting your makeup on, instead of watching makeup tutorials, you watch the live feed updates?
I do. I put you on and I watch it. I swear. Dimitri's like, what are you listening to? I'm like, shh, greatness.
Yes. Okay. There you go. All right. Ika, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing your interviews after the finale. Thanks so much, Scott Sabier. Follow Brent on Twitter as well, at One Lucky Gay. Take care, everybody. Have a good one, and bye.